the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. By the way, IQ median is 100 exactly. Gleason was a last name pronounced like Glisten with the I short. So apparently that is a thing that is inaccurate. Let's see. Rick, Todd.
Tim was right.
Well, we've got this. Todd, the corpse is indeed correct. That's true. I never started to gloss right over that. I didn't mean to. So it is.
Yeah, after you made fun of
me. I don't like to flaunt my rightness.
So it is. Wait, so we say Gleason, but it's really Glisten? I'm confused about what we even mean now. Let's talk about a disproportionate waste of airtime.
Look at the way Jackie Gleason spells his name, or did when he was alive.
But now.
It's not the same as the street name.
Okay. Anyway, we got this. Todd is correct. The person with which Cooch Street is named did all kinds of syntax. The person with which Cooch Street is named for, I think this is, I've got an email from Borat, did pronounce his name like the piece of furniture that Sarah places her beautiful booty upon. Love Aaron, Geek of the City. And so forth. So there you go. So that's Aaron. And I have one, let's see, I have one more here. Blah, 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 blah. God, where the hell did it go? I want to do, this is about subject line. Scotty J, shut the hell up. When I was a teenager, I used to give a packet of Post-its to my most annoying student who would constantly pipe up and say stupid crap. I empowered her to write her comments on the Post-its and give them to me after class. I never read them. In fact, I threw them away immediately without looking, but it shut her up. I sense that Scotty J needs a large packet of Post-its. All right, well, you know, there you go. I'm looking for one particular email here. Let's see, and it's from... Oh, here we go. This is, let's see, about Tim Savage and the bathroom. Rick, that caller was right. Tim Savage did admit to using sinks as urinals because, quote, he's tall, end quote. What does that have to do with the toilet paper roll? Who knows? For criminy's sake, he uses the sink as a urinal. Who knows how else he uses other bathroom accoutrements? Hopefully no one there uses the sink to splash water on their faces for a nice refreshing pick-me-up. Enjoy your lunch. Okay, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let us make another visit to the Ministry of
Truth. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
So here we are doing the most popular stories of 2006. Something happened?
That was the loudest you've ever been.
Truly.
Really? Jeff told me he couldn't hear something. I had to turn him up.
Okay.
Drink it up.
And rip off the nub.
All right. Here's Tim Riley. Okay, so these are those popular stories of 2006. We don't know who compiled these, but they seem to be accurate. A woman's body was found wedged upside down behind a bookcase in the home she shared with relatives who spent nearly 2 years looking for her. A spokesman for the Pasco County Sheriff's Office, this is in Florida, said Marisa Weber's death was not suspected.
Oh, mine's down.
Yeah. In your face. Well, family members say they believe she fell over as she tried to adjust the plug of a television behind the bookshelf.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So they found her behind a bookshelf.
Yeah.
Now, but where was the television?
Let's see. Apparently, okay, it was probably on this entertainment center.
Oh, and she went behind there. Center, leaning in, she trips. Mm-hmm. Whoa, now I'm behind the entertainment center.
Mm-hmm.
But then how is it that she's dead? Does it say how she died?
That's a good question. Well, let's continue here and find out. Family members scoured the room for clues but found nothing, but they did notice a strange smell.
Oh. Does it smell like Grandma? It's almost like she's still here.
Well, it was late one night that Weber's sister went into her bedroom and looked behind the bookcase where she saw the woman's foot. Using a flashlight, they saw Weber wedged upside down behind the unit. Now,
yes, just a dramatic pause.
Well, I'm trying to think about this myself.
I know, it's very confusing.
I'm trying to picture what happened here.
By the way,
she stayed there for 2 years, and then one day somebody happened to see her foot.
How infrequently does that family clean? And by the way, we are reading, this is a compilation. Now, Tim compiled this, I think.
Yes, I did.
These are the most popular news stories of 2006. Now, we should have done these last week, but we were gone, blah, 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 blah. So
her sister had previously adjusted the television plug by standing on a bureau next to the shelf and leaning over the top. Her family believes Weber, who is 5'3", barely 100 pounds, may have fallen headfirst into the space. She's a little thing. And the bookcase is 6 feet tall and
littler now.
She couldn't get out.
But that doesn't make any sense. Someone killed her.
Yeah,
I'm not saying
totally.
That's true. No, I'm saying in a parallel universe, I'm not saying that about this family.
How did she die? Would she, like, smother against the wall?
Seriously.
Apparently, she was unable to breathe in the position she was in.
But that doesn't make any sense. Was she a cripple?
It doesn't
like
say.
Missing her hands? Well, no, because then how would she be adjusting the knobs?
And if it was in the middle of the night and it was a house she shared with other people, she could have made some noise.
Like a, hello, hey, I'm back here.
Maybe they're on vacation.
So she, but even then, and I mean.
Oh, they were on vacation. They had returned home, and they thought she was kidnapped.
But her foot was sticking out.
Apparently, they didn't realize it.
But they didn't see her foot for 2 years?
Okay, so she's leaning back, because I'm picturing this like all of us are. I'm picturing this using my entertainment center.
She, like, fell behind.
Apparently, she was missing for 11 days.
Okay.
Oh, I thought it said 2 years.
Seriously.
No.
Okay, but
that would be quite the spell.
And so she's leaning behind the entertainment center to adjust the TV plug. She must have fallen
head first
and, like, cracked her neck, maybe, like a bam, and you just hit it right, and it's it's possible. She cracked her neck,
yeah.
And then she's just back there. That's unpleasant. And plus, she's back there with all that heat-producing electronic equipment and so forth. That house is a whole lot of funk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's not enough Febreze in the world to get that stench out. Yeah. All right.
Story number two, Dateline Budapest, Hungary. Hungarian builders who drank their way to the bottom of a huge barrel of rum while renovating a home got a nasty surprise when a pickled corpse tumbled out of the empty barrel.
I remember this story. Yeah, this was a golden. This was a power story.
They tried to move the barrel after they drained it, only to find it was surprisingly heavy and shocked when the body of a naked man fell out.
Oh, and somehow.
And pickled is the worst thing ever when talking about a body.
And I remember us being.
They thought it had a special taste.
I remember this wine has a lot of body.
He has been buried in a proper grave.
I remember the most horrifying thing to us, though, was that the fact that he was nude. When you think about it, it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, he probably had pants on and they just disintegrated. Secondly, I don't know why we're all horrified by the idea of his junk floating around in the wine, when clearly his junk could be floating around in the wine anyway. It's just a question of whether it's strained through a pair of Dockers or something.
Well, apparently, his wife had shipped them this way to avoid the cost and paperwork of an official return from Jamaica.
Sort of a no-frills funeral. I don't remember that from the original telling of the story, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how this transpired.
You just had sort of a cask of wine around and decided that that was a handy sort of seal-a-meal, but for dead husbands.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. We are reading the most popular news stories of the year just passed.
Dateline London. A 22-year-old man suffered internal injuries after lighting a small firecracker he inserted into his buttocks. This took place when Britain was celebrating Bonfire Night, traditionally marked with fireworks, to celebrate the Guy Fawkes gunpowder plot to blow up Parliament back in the 17th century. The man suffered burns and other unspecified internal injuries in the incident. A caller had phoned in and said the victim was bleeding after the firecracker exploded in his buttocks. Apparently, the man's friends recorded the incident on his cell phone. This is a blurry image showing a man bent over with his pants down in a white flash as the firecracker explodes. The man is a soldier who recently returned from Iraq.
Fantastic. And the best part about all of these stories, and by all of these stories, I mean stories involving injury where something like this happened, is there's always a cover story. If you talk to anybody who works in the ER, and I know everybody, there's a lot of these are urban legends where it's, you know, you hear a guy who comes in, he's got a champagne bottle wedged in a sensitive area or something. But there's a lot of urban legends here, but there are people who, they injure themselves in embarrassing fashions. And there's always... There's always three different layers to the story. There's the cover story that they give in. What happened? Well, I was cleaning the house in the nude, and then I tumbled down the stairs, and I landed on top of this Kirby vacuum cleaner, and that's exactly how this happened. And then there's just the moment of prevarication where there's like, well, it may have happened differently. There may have been, and then finally it just comes out that, you know, a guy was humping an appliance, and that's just the moment of release, where the guy just gives out the story. So it is with all, like that story we had a couple weeks ago. The guy was they found him at the bottom of the pool because he was somehow, and they always say this. The stories always say this too. They always say had somehow, and I'll use that in context. They say, for example, the man had somehow become trapped down by the suction device at the bottom of the swimming pool. We know exactly how that happened. We know all of the circumstances of it. But they always say somehow to cover the fact that it was a man who once again was led astray by his penis. I'm sorry, I have to interrupt myself. Is that Courtney Love or is that Britney Spears?
That's Courtney Love.
Okay, but see, this is a picture that probably is not on Sarah's blog yet. It'll be on there later. Just the horrifying thing was for a moment that I couldn't figure out who it was. I thought it might have been Britney Spears. And that really doesn't speak so badly of Courtney Love as it does of Britney. The fact that for a moment I thought that was a Britney Spears. That right there is the picture I'm thinking of. Look at that. Look, if you go to Sarah X. Dillon's blog right now, sarahxdillon.com, that's the worst picture of Britney Spears ever taken, and that's saying something. The bar has really been set pretty high for that. That's the worst Britney Spears picture I've ever seen.
And that was just last night, too.
She looks like she... You know what that looks like?
The perfume lady at Target. Would you like a sample?
If you love Chanel number 5, you'll like this. We sell it by the liter.
I was going to say, it looks like someone... Do you ever see those statues that they make out of butter in places like Wisconsin? You'll go back and we have created the bust of George Franklin exactly the way he looked 200 years ago, out of cheese. And that's what it looks like. It looks like someone has made a statue of Britney Spears out of butter and then floured it. That's what that looks like right there. That's a whole lot of flab she's got.
This wasn't just one poorly taken picture. It's a series of, like, 8 pictures where she looks exactly like
that. Oh, no, that's not... Yeah, I can tell. That's like you all, I grew up in the American culture and the tabloid culture, and so I can spot... Like, if you ever do this, you're standing in line, and I know you do this, standing in line, and Tim, even in the suburbs, they probably have the tabloids. Yes, standing in line at the Safeway or the supermarket or the what have you, and you see some god-awful picture of a celebrity on the front of the Inquirer, and you can tell that it's just some poor soul who's been caught sneezing. And the Inquirer guy, and you know, like, if you're Angelina Jolie, anytime you have to engage in a bodily function, whether it's an active bathroom behavior, whether it's a sneeze, you got to get something, up your nose, you got to do it inside. Pull the blinds. Seal yourself inside a small sarcophagus before you do that. Because you know, as soon as you go like, ha-choo, there is a guy instantly, like a whack-a-mole character, bing, popping out from behind a shrub, one eye shut, your mouth open, face all askew, and then the headline that they recycle will just be Angelina Jolie's agony-racked last days. And that's what they will claim, that you were dying of some weird tropical disease that you picked up. And it'll be a picture of you with your face all contorted. Like that Dick Clark, although I guess maybe they got it right that time. The Dick Clark, remember that Dick Clark headline, the Dick Clark begs of pals, please let me die? It'll be like that, though. But this picture of Britney Spears is not an ambush photo. She clearly just looks like ass. She clearly just looks horrible. And then right below it, you have posted a photo from her glory days. See, it's like they're not even the same woman. And I know that people can't see this, but I mean, if you just conjure up an image of your head of Britney Spears back when she was hot, this really does beg the question, was she ever really hot? Let me ask you this. I hate to speak the unthinkable. I hate to say the unsayable here. Is it possible that Britney Spears was never hot to begin with? I don't like to say that any more than you like to hear it.
Yes.
Is it possible that Britney Spears was just a beast all along, and they just cleverly, through camera angles and makeup, they just cleverly, because
she was cute at one point.
Look, pot-bellied sows are cute. Mr. Potato Head is cute. You don't want to have sex with it.
I guess she is always really airbrushed.
I'm just saying, there are no candid photographs that I remember of her from that era. I don't remember any candid makeup-less photos from, like, 99, 2000, 2001. It's entirely possible that we have been had, ladies and gentlemen, that Britney Spears was just a goddamn troll all along, and we never really realized it. I've passed up women that are hotter than that. I mean, really, it's true. That top picture of her.
She's the lady that you order waffles from at the all-night shift at Cherry's. Please wait to be seated.
She's a woman who's busy scratching behind her ear with a pen as you're sitting there trying to decide whether you're going to get ham or bacon. And she says, "Hon, you want a few more minutes?" That's exactly what comes out of that mouth right there. All right. Let's do one more and then we'll break here. We're counting down the top stories of 2006.
A man and a woman have been cited in connection with a bizarre incident that resulted in a fake penis being microwaved at a convenience store. Leslie Creighton and Vincent Bostic We're both cited for criminal mischief and disorderly conduct. Now, each carries a possible sentence of 90 days in jail and a $300 fine. Bostic had filled a fake penis with his own urine that Creighton, a friend, planned to pass off in a drug test that she had to take to get a job.
Who could see that a guy named Creighton would get you into trouble?
Now, Creighton asked the store clerk to microwave the device so the urine inside would be body temperature and fool those giving the test. Police aren't sure why Creighton chose to use a device that mimics a male sex organ to pass her own drug test.
Creighton and his friend Pinhead. All right, what are you going to do today? Well, I'm just going to hang out with Creighton. We're not at all going to get into trouble. Don't worry about it.
Well, the store had to get rid of the oven because it couldn't be used for food once bodily fluids were cooked inside.
Okay. And by the way...
It's unknown if she was hired for the job.
Just close it out with this email. Rick, you nailed it. On one of the online gossip sites, I just saw the following headline. Justin Timberlake bringing single back. Yeah, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. All right, let's take a break here. We'll come back, and what do we do? Oh, we'll come back. We will visit the Ministry of Truth for some actual news. After a fashion.
And then we're going to talk to Smokey.
Fantastic.
Clear up that bathroom thing once and for all.
Great. Swell. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. We say that we return after this. Rick Emerson radio program. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. And I knew I acted too slowly. I was going to tape that Megan Mullally show just so I could leer at Megan Mullally herself. Now it's gone. Gone. I looked away for 15 minutes, and now she's banished. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, your president, prophet, seer, and revelator, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, with the Democrats in charge, the 110th Congress has been formally sworn in. Nancy Pelosi did the honors in the House.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's me. I have my computer muted.
Oh,
sorry about that.
That you will take this obligation freely without any mental reservations or purpose of evasion, and that you will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which you are about to enter. So help you God.
Picture her like Skeletor riding the back of a giant whale somewhere.
She welcomes the new congressman.
The nude congressman. This is everything that she says. I just picture nude.
Congratulations. You are all now members of the 110th Congress.
What is it about that? What is it? Is it her? Is it the nature? Is it just the voice? Because there are voices that are just off-putting. And I mean, it's not even really what she's saying, because I couldn't repeat that if you put a gun to my head. I don't know what she said there. There's just voices that have a little bit
of... We have assistants, please, and room number one for toilet seats!
I mean, there are voices that are pleasing. Sarah was noting during the break that Dennis Pitzenbarger has a distinctively gravelly voice, but in a weird way, it sort of works. It's not the... Dennis himself would tell you it's not a very smooth, polished delivery. That's not, you know, because he's not a radio guy for most of his life, but his voice sort of works. It has a certain gravitas to it, whereas this just...
Congratulations, you are all now members of the one...
It's just like having sharp things shoved into my brain while I'm listening.
Here's Tim Riley. Well, let's get a little Joe-mentum going today.
Fantastic.
He is not backing down on his call for a troop increase to Iraq.
This is a very tough time.
He said it's the right thing to do.
This is a very tough time, and there are no easy alternatives. It's a choice between the alternatives that are better and those that are worse. And to me, the worst is just to give up on Iraq. So I think what we've got to do is send some more people in Baghdad.
Thousands of them.
Restore some kind of security, because without security, the government will never work.
Let's just send wave after wave of troops over there relentlessly till the end of time and change nothing else about the policy.
Yes, this is the way to restore order in Iraq.
The number has to be a significant number. I don't want it to be there on a short leash in terms of time. The one thing we haven't tried yet, to send more troops in as a way to restore order and be able to sooner get our troops out.
What were we doing there in the first place?
No one knows.
The increase would not be too taxing on the military, says Joe.
The numbers are being talked about are somewhere between, if there is a surge, between 15 and 30 or 35,000. And that's out of ground forces that we have in uniform of over a million.
Seriously, I cannot believe, and I know I said this to Lisa Goddard earlier, but I really can't believe that that's what they came up with. They rented some cabin in the woods or something, and they all sat there for 90 days around a table drinking mead out of the horns of their enemies. And then at the end of it, that's what they came up with is, let's send more troops. And that's it. That's what they're rolling out is the brand new exciting plan. All right. Are we, how many, did we finish the top stories?
No, we did not.
Do that, and then we'll, Sarah's not going to let me rest until the Smokey thing. Until Smokey comes in to discuss my bathroom habits.
I think Smokey should come in.
Well, let's, why not,
I have
Scotty,
two more stories.
Well, let's talk to Scotty. Scotty, what, Scotty can do it. So, Scotty J., if you can please find Smokey, then we'll just get this unpleasantness behind us. Here's Tim Riley.
This comes to us from Aloha, one of the top stories of the year. The woman who called 911 to get the cutest cop I've ever seen, in her words. Sent to her home and got a date, all right, a court date. Apparently, this woman called and asked for the cute cutie pie deputy. He is the cutest cop I have seen in a long time. I don't know his name, said this woman named Dudash. Heck, it doesn't come very often that a good man comes to her doorstep.
It's Lorna Dudash, right? I remember her.
Lorna Dudash.
Lorna Dudash.
What was that chick that Hank Williams Jr. Shoved up against a wall?
That wasn't her.
Hickory Hornbeak or whatever.
Hickory Hornbeak, I think.
To be fair, she is sort of picking the right part of the country if you want cops to just come over to your house and stoop you. Mm-hmm. That really is, this does seem to be the police force that can make that happen.
So that was one of the biggest stories of the year.
All right, how many are left?
Just one.
Let's do it right now.
All right. I don't want to keep Smokey waiting. A man was arrested on suspicion of carrying a concealed weapon after police found him outdoors and naked and told them he had a tool stuck in his rectum. The man was lying on a tree stump, masturbating beside a nature trail.
Whoa!
Oh,
let's all stop.
Oh, my God. Whoa. No, we don't even stop. Just plow through.
Yes, plow through.
John Sheehan was arrested on suspicion of indecent exposure, but when he was asked if he was carrying that anything that police should know about, well, you can't get more concealed than that now, can you? Officers drew their weapons, and firefighters were called to the scene. Sheehan removed a 6-inch metal awl wrapped in black electrical tape without incident. I don't know, to himself. He was paroled from state prison last week before this, and then booked onto jail on suspicion of parole violations, indecent exposure, and one felony count of possessing a concealed weapon.
You do learn some strange abilities in prison.
Yeah.
Put a whole Cadillac inside my anus.
Yep. So he was fresh out of prison with a weapon, and it was a stabbing instrument. It's not immediately clear what he was on parole for. A person answering the phone at the jail did not know whether she had a lawyer yet. Maybe I should give these to Smokey to read on his program. You think the midday audience might enjoy these?
An awl is one of those things they use to break open wood, right?
No, that's an axe.
A log?
That's an axe.
Don't they put an awl in there, though?
No, you're thinking that's like a wedge. You're thinking of like a metal wedge. No, that's...
What's an awl?
Really?
Yeah, what is an awl?
The idea, though, I know what you're talking about. And one of those splitter things that they use to break open logs,
yeah. That's
an unnerving prospect, the idea of having that stored inside a delicate section of my net. An awl is like an ice pick.
Oh. I'm sure there's somebody out there who's used one. Not
and it was
sure in this manner. Perhaps thought about it at one point.
Yes. Moving forward, we will return with the Ministry of Truth at the top of the hour, also Jim Roop, and so forth. Let's welcome none of the... I'm doing this under duress, by the way. There's something that came
Should I find some country songs to introduce Smokey with?
No.
We have a lot of Carrie Underwood. Can we just play some Carrie Underwood over and over and over again?
No, I play enough of that.
Followed by Daryl Worley.
No, I play enough of that. I just played one of those. All right. What is it? Oh, I've never heard this, God Bless America. No.
Who is this?
This is
Leanne Rimes.
All right. I've not heard her version of this.
God Bless America. Oh, like, God Bless America.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have their entire library here.
You're a couple fan. I celebrate their entire catalog. And we're done. Thank you.
Okay, I think you actually... Don't you have to play the entire version of that once you start it?
What do you mean? You mean by law?
I think so. Uh-oh. You might want to look that up.
That's okay. I'll get right on that. Okay.
That's
so,
a good marketing plan for Mrs. Rhymes.
Scotty has taken this opportunity to leave his post, by the way, to go get a sandwich. So if these people are calling, I'm just going to be putting you on hold now. I'm putting these calls on hold. I just put you on hold. Stay there. Scotty's not there. All right. So I'm discussing this under duress in the 11 o'clock hour earlier on in this program. Sarah made an allegation, and I don't know.
I want to get your version of this, because Sarah claimed... Now, Sarah is known to conflate things sometimes. She is known to sort of exaggerate for whatever effect. Not unlike Aaron, who exaggerated the whole business of the tapping in the ass. Of the,
okay.
I'm just saying, Sarah claims, Smokey, that you claim that I...
Don't be afraid, Smokey. Tell him
why don't you just... I'll let you put it in your own words. Yeah. What did you
I
say...
I followed this? You coming out of the bathroom one day.
You have to rephrase it, because it just sounds creepy when you put it like that.
Well, we share one bathroom.
We share one bathroom. There's like 8 or 10 of us over in here.
Right.
And we share the same bathroom, and sometimes we have to wait. I was waiting.
Taylor Swift style.
I waited for you, and you left. I went in.
Like
the toilet seat was still up. And there was, when I pulled it down, there was urine all over the seat.
Ah!
Droplets all over it. It was nasty.
Okay.
What are you playing, like target practice there?
Okay, let's not become that program.
Do I have dead air over there? Can you tell?
Can we hit the monitor? No, can't you monitor a couple from here?
Yeah.
Let's find out. Ah! No, that's
the record's gone.
All right. So,
no, it's still playing.
All right. So, you followed me into the bathroom. The seat was up.
Hey, Smokey, what's playing after this next song?
Nothing.
Okay.
We got dead air, is what we got, because we're busy with the all.
Should I go?
Can I come right back?
Can I go do your break for you?
No, I'll go.
I can go in and take over. I used to be a country DJ.
Seriously, I can pander to that target demographic. All right, you.
All right, so Smokey has just. Well, in the meantime, hello, unscreened caller number 5. Who are you, and what do you want?
Well, it's not a awl. It's a maul. It's half sledgehammer and half axe used for splitting wood.
Right, okay. Yeah, you're talking about it looks like the really dull blade of an axe.
Right, but the back half of it is like a 8-pound sledgehammer.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. It is like you took like a small one of those axe hammers. You know, like it's just like he took a little hatchet and just took the head off of it. Yeah, he did not have that hidden in his body. Correct,
because that's M-A-U-L, and the A-W-L is the very sharp pointy. How did that survive?
That's what I'm saying. The awl, which is like an ice pick. That's what the man had hidden inside his body.
That's what I got, yeah.
Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. Hello, unscreened caller number 6. Who are you and what do you want?
Well, I just want to... What's this guy's name? Smoke? Hey, man, do you ever work in, like, a man's bathroom?
Hold on. I'm just going to... Let's just get a handle of our...
Work in a warehouse.
You work with dudes.
Yeah.
See, because here we got one bathroom, and it's a co-ed bathroom. And I got to say this. Women are typically much worse than men in the bathroom. Women leave the bathroom a lot dirtier than men. I don't mean to turn this into, like, some dumb morning show thing, but it is true. If you ever go into, like, a chick bathroom, man, it's just, like, crap everywhere. And I don't mean, like, necessarily around the toilet area. But I'm talking about the sink. It's, like, tissues and, like, tampon paper applicators.
There
and
are
all kinds
not
of, it's true. I have gone, not
that
here.
That is a falsehood.
It's not a falsehood.
Hey,
I have gone
boy.
To the unisex... I have gone into female bathrooms at other places where we have worked, and that's true. And it's not like deliberately strewn everywhere, but just sort of like there's a lackadaisical attitude towards tossing things into the trash. That's all I'm saying.
I must address Smokey here just for a moment.
Well,
sir.
He's not actually in the room.
All right, just get...
Yeah, we're done. Thank you. There's no point, sir. Eating up airtime for someone who's not here. It's not actually in the room. All right. Do you want to take our break here and we'll come back?
Yeah.
All right. Let's take our break here. We'll come back because we're sort of at the mercy of Smokey. Because I want to get this done and over with. Because otherwise, it's just going to be day after day. Otherwise, I'm never going to be... Oh, is he walking back, actually? All right.
I think he might be.
Because otherwise, I'm never going to be... Never going to... See, because... Like, The last break, I went up back against a different floor because I don't feel like I can use the bathroom here because I'm under all kinds of scrutiny.
Hi, Smokey.
I don't mean to make that sound like it's an ongoing problem, like what with the feminine products and the soap, and like rappers and crap, but I'm saying I have had that experience. It's not just men. Maybe it's just that women have more stuff in the bathroom that can leave a mess, like cosmetics and crap. Like, guys don't take anything into the bathroom with them. Guys go in, they do their business, they leave. Women go into the bathroom, there's like 8, 9, 10 different reasons why they could be going in. There's all kinds of business that can go on in there. Okay, so Smokey.
Yes.
So you... I was using the bathroom.
Yes.
I come out.
Yeah, I go in.
You go in, the toilet seat is up.
Yes.
Okay? You pull the seat down to engage in whatever activity, and then there is liquid then on the toilet seat.
Yeah. Is it underneath the toilet seat?
You take a lot of
well?
B-complex vitamins.
Okay, see, but... Do you have a greens heavy diet? There comes the boning knife.
Where's the all? All right. Yeah, so that's what I saw.
Okay,
and I had to clean it up.
But that doesn't even make any sense because why would it?
Was it underneath as well? Like
because I'm a guy and I can tell you how it happens.
Okay. Well, maybe that says more about you than about me. Maybe that says maybe someone is projecting because of his bad bathroom habits.
No, because Aaron has written in and said you've done the same thing at his house.
You sons of bitches. Listen, but he hasn't said that because Aaron...
I have Jen's phone number. I'm going to call Jen.
So don't call Jen on your cell phone. We're going to call Jen on the air.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll do that. Don't do that yet, though, because I want to maximize the time we have of Smokey. Because he's got to go play a Lee Greenwood record or something. So here's the thing.
No, that's all George.
But listen, that doesn't make any sense, though. Because if you go into the bathroom after I have used the bathroom, you pull the seat down and there is some sort of liquid on top, that doesn't even make any sense. Because that implies that I go in, put the seat down, and am messy, and then put the seat back up. That doesn't even make any sense. Like, how would that even happen? That's how I know you're making this up.
Was it on the underneath of the toilet seat, too, Smokey?
I think.
How would it get on the underneath?
This is how it happens, okay?
Let's be,
I've
now,
been
let's,
a guy for 40 years.
All right, now let's...
All right.
Let's be circumspect as we describe this here.
Oh, my God, I don't even know how to talk about this.
You're a radio professional.
Use an analogy. Let's say that you're...
frosting a cake.
That's an analogy for something else. Yes, let's say you're frosting a cake, a toilet-shaped cake. So you're frosting
and
a toilet-shaped cake, Smokey.
I think that you probably hit the back. And it splashed up, and it did its thing, and here's the thing. What went through my mind was, who raised you? Who raised you?
I'm bringing my mother into this.
My mother thought that she made sure all of us.
Okay, you're heading to... Don't bring my mom into this. No need to make it ugly. Okay, here's the thing. Here's how I know that this is not me. Now, do you want to get Jen on the phone?
It is possible that somebody before you did it, and then you just went in there and used it, and didn't move the toilet seat.
All I'm saying is, okay, well, she's gonna right now. Let's because Sarah has this email that is from one of a listener of ours, a friend of ours that we hang out with sometimes. The listener claims that when I am at his house, this same thing happens. He claims that his wife has used the restroom after I have used the restroom, and that there is a similar sort of situation that takes place. So we are calling her right now.
But he said that she might not pick up
because
she's actually at a real job.
Well, she actually has a job where she can't sit and discuss the toilet all day. I've heard rumors that there are people like that in
this
world.
Can Scotty hear us?
Yes.
Can Scotty, can you go into my studio and make sure all my pots are up?
And there isn't like an alarm going off somewhere.
There's five of them.
He's
make
typing.
Sure they're all. I
make
believe
sure
they
all five pots are up. Oh, is it like? Is it going to auto segue?
Yeah, I've got it. You know, doing its thing.
Okay. Oh wait, hold on.
Wanted to see if you wanted to come in and talk to us about.
Are you leaving a voicemail?
So give a call back. What's our
7332 2970.
Okay, bye.
All right. Okay. So there you go. And here's why we've got to and then we'll have to take a break here in a second. Because now, see, and since Sarah brought this up in the 11 o'clock hour, and by the way, I'd like to thank you for mentioning it to Sarah apparently dozens of times and never bringing it up with me. So it's like, you know, it's like when you got some goo stuck on the end of your nose or something and nobody mentions it to you. They just tell everybody else, look at that goo on the end of its nose.
I would tell you if you had the goo. I didn't know how to talk to you about such things.
You didn't know how to bring me.
I was shocked.
You were shocked. I was appalled. You didn't know how to take me. Some... Rick, is there some sort of issue you'd like to address with me? Because now every time I go to use the bathroom, and it's going to happen again in this next segment, I have to go to a different floor. Because now I feel like every bathroom visit of mine is under the microscope.
And you know what? The bathroom is very clean today.
Why don't you...
Shut up.
Huh? Okay. Thank you, Smoke. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back.
We have Tim Riley with the Ministry of Truth, Jim Roop from Los Angeles. At 3 o'clock, it's Tom Likas, Donna Mike at 70. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.